Welcome to Faith Family and the Force. I'm Annabeth.
And I'm Oliver.
Faith Family and the Force is a podcast about just that, our faith, our family, and our experiences as Oliver is in the Air Force.
And on today's episode, we talk about why we go to church every Sunday, and we also issue you a little challenge.
What's up, guys? It's Holy Week.
What? Holy Week!
So, if you don't know, Holy Week is just the week leading up to Easter.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you know, we're kind of winding down in the Lenten season. So, it really, for me, means Fish Friday one more time before Easter Sunday.
So, since it is Holy Week and Easter coming up, we wanted to talk to y'all about why we go to church every Sunday and why we've made it a priority for us.
Yes. So, this is a podcast idea that Annabeth kind of was she's about it, you know, and when we have our like brainstorming sessions and all the whole list of the podcast episodes that we have potential for, this one wasn't really high up on my list. I'm pretty sure I wanted to talk about like fast food restaurants or, you know, economics or psychology or anything else but this. However, after a good long walk this week, a good run, we kind of got to talking about it, and we realized we were more passionate about it than we thought.
You realized. I knew all along.
Absolutely.
Okay, so one of the first reasons that we go to church every Sunday is it just starts our week off right. Like, Sunday is not the end of the week for us. That's how we begin our weeks.
Absolutely. And so if you're listening to this from, like, an outside perspective, or you're unchurched, or you're just a person who really doesn't go to church or doesn't really care about it, but you like listening to our podcast for some reason, well, welcome. Thank you for listening. But so going every week, it's almost like I'm trying to think how to like secularize this, if you will, but it's like going to the gym regularly, doing some type of physical, mental, spiritual exercise is essentially what's going on here. And this is like the culminating weekend thing. This is your Friday Night Lights. This is Sunday morning atmosphere going on here. So for us to go to church, Annabeth and I sit down and we had a long talk about it before we were married. We both grew up kind of going to church, her more than me. So for us to make it a conscious effort, it's just how we decide to start our week. It's really kind of interesting to explain that, because I'd be curious to know how other people start their weeks. Probably a lot of people don't put thought into it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but Sunday we try to Sabbath, which just means like taking a rest day. And that whole Sabbath day revolves around going to church pretty much.
Absolutely. So we put church in the center of our Sabbath, which is also the start of our week. So a lot of times, Annabeth and I'll think of things in week increments. That is a nice timeline we both agree on. I'm more short term, or I'm either really, really short term or really long term. Annabeth really covers the medium term. So weeks are something we both can kind of sit down. Hence, we have if you listen a couple podcasts ago, we talked about our Sunday sit down, where we sit down each Sunday night and talk about our week and plan that out. So it sets our tone going to church Sunday morning, and then having Sunday being our Sabbath, it helps us clear our mind and we get into just this good head space and heart space about what we're doing for the week and being with Jesus.
Yeah. And we'll probably do a more in-depth podcast episode about Sabbath and why we do that and stuff. But for now, we're just going to talk about the beginning of our Sabbath, which is church. So what are some other things or other reasons we go to church every Sunday?
The coffee. Most churches, if you don't go to our church, has really good coffee. I haven't been to a lot of churches that don't. I mean, I can name like a couple, but you know, we were just visiting there, so it doesn't really count. Coffee's good. The friendship, when the friends you're going to make, the fellowship, Let's see, the awkward, like, kind of conversations you have with people at churches, I can thrive off that, but I also can get like kind of a bad attitude about it sometimes if I'm not too careful.
Okay. I will say our church doesn't do this or hasn't done it since COVID, I guess, but I hate when you go to a church and they're like, okay, we're going to do a couple minutes, like go around and greet people, like talk to your neighbors. I do not like that.
That's my favorite part. No, I'm just kidding. I genuinely hate that as well. Like, there's, I don't know. We could go on and on about things we probably don't like or do like in churches. But just the environment of most churches should be extremely welcoming and fostering, especially if you're a new person and you're young in the faith or unsure about what Jesus is all about in church in general. Ideally, you know, it's a place where you can go and you don't have a lot of like weird, I guess you do have weird questions because I have weird questions all the time, but like you're just not, you're comfortable, but yet you're also, something is stirring. Like you're comfortable, but not, I don't know. There's not a, probably a good word for that. I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And so a huge reason to, that we go is God didn't create us to be by ourselves all the time. Like he created us for community. He had a vision like for church. And I mean, that's what he told the apostles and his disciples to do before he went to heaven, like go and make more disciples, go and create the church. And so, I mean, that's what, we can't do life alone.
Absolutely. If you've ever had heartbreak or death in the family, and it's really hard to go and be sad in nature and be out, and it's, you can go out and worship God by yourself in the great outdoors, but like that tree isn't gonna say, hey, I understand what you're going through, because I too lost my mom to cancer, or I too had this tragic thing happen. Like, let me show you how I grieved and moved on. And church provides an environment that is there for your happiness and there for your sadness and there to live life with you, ideally, like hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. And like, if you're a Christian, why would you not want other Christian friends that are going to be good influences, that are going to pray for you, that you can be honest and vulnerable with?
Yeah. So all these things that we're kind of mentioned, like in some, are reasons we go to church. I want to be surrounded by people who aren't just going to give me confirmation bias or cognitive bias or just like always in my favor, but I want them to understand that like I'm putting Jesus first in my life and I'm not always going to get that right, to call me out on that, to be accountable, but also to like help me out on it, figure out this thing that we're living as life. And so I choose, and Annabeth, we choose every Sunday to start our day off by going to church. And it doesn't mean we don't miss occasionally. That's not what like we want you guys to get at. Like, especially if I'm flying or out of town, sometimes it doesn't happen, but there's tons and tons of resources to go to church, to be able to worship, whether that's in a building, online, or even different services that aren't necessarily Sunday morning. So.
Yeah. And then probably the biggest reason for me is the sermon and the worship music, because I need to learn about the Bible and about Jesus from somebody else and get ideas from other places than just me interpreting my Bible when I read it. And then I just love worship music, and I love being able to worship God with other people in that way.
Absolutely. Annabeth and I are huge fans of singing. We sing in the car all the time together. We sing with Baby Jude, and it's really comfortable when you get to go to church and sing, like praise God. And honestly, like I don't sing that well. So I kind of like, I still sing my heart out, you know, during worship, and then it's okay not to sing. And some Sundays I don't sing, and it's not because I don't want to, it's just because I know I'm not going to sound pretty that morning.
Yeah. Okay. So there, we have a couple verses that kind of go along with this too, that kind of back up our reasoning and give you a biblical perspective, I guess, of why to go to church every Sunday and be in that community. The first one is from Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So there's a lot to unpack. Unpack. I don't know why I said that weird. I don't know. A lot to unpack in those three verses.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the big things to me that comes to mind is how we are treating each other and motivating each other to acts of love and good works. And that's what, I mean, church is there and it offers a place, an environment to be together. And then you can sit there and brainstorm and be like, okay, like, how do we do good things? Like as a Christian, what is good? What does this even look like? And then you can sit there and you can get a good answer from someone who's either had a lot more life experience or someone who's very much studied the Bible and went to school for that, or they're very well versed in it. And you can sit there and talk about it and have this like churn go on about how to do good works and how to love and how to live life ultimately.
For sure. So the next verse, I believe, is Ephesians, 4, 15 and 16, possibly. Yes, that's right. It says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love." So same thing Oliver was saying with the last verse. "Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So basically it's saying without God being the head of the church, and in this case, the church is the body, and we all have our own special gifts and talents and callings that work together when we bring all those gifts and talents and callings and whatever else all together, it fits perfectly. Like he created us for that, like I was saying earlier.
Yes. So one of the other verses to our last verse is going to be Colossians 3:16, which I always think it's funny when like other Bible verses match up with like really popular Bible verses like John 3:16, Colossians 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. I don't know. It's kind of weird numbers. Anyways, Colossians 3:16, "Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." Man, how many Sundays have you had where like you aren't really singing with a thankful heart, that you're just kind of upset or there's not a lot of thinking going on. Yeah, words today. Anyways, but I mean, it's just being together, worshiping God and being unified in this whole body sense, I think is super powerful. And that is what church is about. And Annabeth and I prioritize that. And we make that a thing because we've seen it work in our lives. And it's not necessarily because a trial and error type thing, but it's because we have tried it so much. And when we're doing it, when we're living in sync and going to church and we're making that a priority and we're putting Jesus first in our lives, we recognize it that not only do we live better lives or whatever, like I'm not really as much worried about that, but I have this innate feeling inside of me, and I know Annabeth does too, and we do in our household, like this, you can just feel the spirit more. That's the only thing.
It makes us more loving. It makes us healthier mentally and spiritually. And we grow in those things too. So, and I would also say like one of the cool things we enjoy about going to church is listening to the sermon, and then we always talk about it on the way home, like never fails. And it just gives us another thing to talk about, another aspect of our lives to share with each other, another way to go deeper and be, you know, like Oliver's saying, more in sync and just get to know each other on a spiritual level. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Okay, so I will say sometimes it can be hard to make church a priority, especially if you haven't been going, right?
Yes, it can be so tough, like when you don't go and when you start something up. Anybody who works out like can attest to this. If you take like a 2 or 3 week break and then you start going again, it is so terribly hard.
Yeah, so I tell people this all the time about reading my Bible and doing my Bible study every night, that it's so, when I am reading my Bible every day and spending time with the Lord every day, the more and more I want to do that. And when I miss a day and another day and another day, the harder it is to get back into it. And it's the same thing with so many things in life, but especially church too. Like if you are going consistently, the more you're gonna want to go. But if you miss a week and another week and a month and 2 months, it is gonna be so hard for you to go back. And if you've missed a bunch, like if you haven't been to church in a month or 3 years, you know, just take that leap, like rip off the Band-Aid and go back.
Yeah, so I have like 3 analogies written down here, and I kind of picture it for 3 different types of people. And Annabeth just said the first one, and that's ripping off the Band-Aid. The other one is a snowball effect. So as we mentioned, like it's both a good thing and a bad thing. It's like anything can snowball, especially if you're getting a habit of not going to church, and that just continues to snowball, and the snowball goes down a hill and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then soon it's out of control. But also in a good way of that, like the snowball is rolling down the hill, but in a good thing of you going to church and you have that momentum and it's getting bigger and better and healthier and everything is good. And lastly, for like the really like science nerds out there, like it's like an activation energy type concept that it's really hard to get started. But once you get it started, it kind of, it goes and goes and goes, much like the snowball. So like a potential energy going and turning into kinetic energy. Anyways, not going to dwell on that one because that one just kind of was for me. But what, Annabeth, do you think about the differences of actually going in person churches versus watching churches online? Because this is a huge deal with COVID-19 in the past year and just in general with people who may be like, oh, I don't, not like regardless of COVID right now. So I take this, like people who are just like, oh, I don't really want to go because I don't want to get dressed up and go to church, so I'll just watch it online, versus someone who just goes.
Yeah, well, I will say so many churches before COVID still had their services online, which I think is a great resource if you can't be there or if you go to your church but also like to watch another church, you know, or whatever. And then with COVID starting, pretty much every church was online, which was so great. And I think that was super helpful and necessary at the time. And I think it still is. Like, I'm not saying that everyone should be in church right now if they feel uncomfortable with COVID. I get it. If you have some sort of reasoning, like, you know, for that, understandable. But I will say, as great as it is to be able to watch your church online, it is not the same. And I think you should make it a priority to go and be in the building if you can, because there's a huge difference in sitting there with other people, standing up, singing the songs, and worshiping in a community. And just, I think, if you prioritize going to church, you get up, you get ready, you get yourself there, like God's going to bless that. And it recognizes that and is thankful for that. And I just think there's such a difference than watching it online and being there in person.
Absolutely. I'd agree with that. And if you're very like tactile or like a person who needs to see, smell, and like use a lot of your senses to help you worship, I've never thought worship's an interesting thing, and I hope we can kind of dive into this on another podcast more in depth, because I have a lot of strong felt opinions about it. However, like being there, nothing is going to substitute being there in person. And like Annabeth said, if you have underlying health conditions or whatever the reason is, you can't be there, totally, or you're deployed. Like,
or, you know, whatever the reason.
Right. So that was a big thing when I was deployed. Like, I wasn't able to like attend a church type service with COVID, and with my work schedule, it really didn't work out. So it was huge, the fact that I was able to watch stuff online and watch the same passage that Annabeth was watching. However, like from my experience, my little anecdote, like I can tell you it's not the same. It's awesome because I get to talk with Annabeth about it afterwards, like we normally would. But at the same time, I wasn't there getting, I didn't see how awesome worship was and the cool effect the fog machine did and how the guitar solo was that Trent did. And, but I like, I don't know. It's just, you just got to be there.
Yeah. And I think, well, two things. One, for me, when our church was still just doing online services and we weren't meeting in person, at first it was okay. And I was doing it. I was, you know, sitting there paying attention, trying to worship, trying to still engage in it. And the longer that went on, the harder and harder it got for me to stay focused watching it at home. Because one, I had a baby who was getting older and crawling and getting into stuff and not napping at the right time, like right perfectly when church was going on. And then two, I was at home. And so I was like, I would just get up and do stuff like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm going to go get a sandwich, or, oh, I can start some laundry. And that's not, I wasn't sitting there completely focused on the service. And so I think if you try to do that, it's very difficult. But if you're in person, like there's way less distractions. There's not laundry to do. You can't get up and go get some food. Well, you might could, but you're probably not going to get up and go get some food in the middle of the service and just different things like that. And so it was beneficial to me once we started going back, because I felt like I could really sit there and pay attention. But then also, I just recently started volunteering at our church, like being a greeter. And it's so nice because I'm getting to know more people within the church. And, you know, if I miss a Sunday, they're like, hey, where were you last Sunday? We missed you. Or the same thing, like I'm getting to know other people and saying, oh, hey, why weren't you here last Sunday? Or where have you been? Kind of thing. And I think that's so good for people to be able to hold each other accountable with that.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure one Sunday we were watching online and I totally just fell asleep on the couch. Like, I don't know what it was. I was too comfortable, and like, I just never get, I mean, I totally have fallen asleep in church before too. I'm not even going to lie, but that's another story for another time. Okay. So the biggest thing I think Annabeth and I like kind of got on a rant about before, like, about like how we prioritize church. So if you haven't figured it out, we like church is a priority. It's like going to the grocery store. It's like going to work, except without, it's not that, it's serious, but it's not like super serious. It's not fun. Like we enjoy it. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. But Annabeth, what do you think about excuses for missing church? Cause I know you get pretty fired up about this and I love it.
Okay. Again, let me preface this by saying there are some legitimate excuses to miss church, and it's okay. Like, it is okay to miss church every once in a while. If you're sick, if you're, you know, that was terrible. I couldn't think of any other excuses. No, but growing up, I played softball and we had softball tournaments on the weekend. So I'd miss church and play softball, but I was there the next Sunday if I could be, you know? And so I'm not saying like you have to be super strict about this in a sense, but if your excuses are, again, don't get me wrong, like I said earlier, some people, COVID, are not ready to leave their house, whatever, I get that. But like if you're using COVID as an excuse when you're going all over the place, going to work, going to the grocery store, going, you know, all the other places, and not using that as, you know, that's not, you're not worried about COVID, not using that as an excuse, then you can go to church. Like, come on, you know?
I mean, you're definitely not wrong. Like, if you're going to Target, you probably can go to church. Like, I'm sorry. I get it. If you're still like doing the household thing, only going out for like bare necessities or even Instacart or whatever app you're using to get your groceries delivered, that's totally fine. And like, that's good. Like, that's cool. You do that. I'm not trying to get in your Kool-Aid, but like, if you're like us who are like, okay, we'll go to Target. We'll do our things. We're going to social distance. We're going to wear a mask, and we're going to continue and worship and be safe and get vaccinated and do all this stuff. Like, let's do it. Let's worship safely. Let's love the Lord together and be back in person. And
it's where we're living. We can do that. And I know it's probably different in other parts of the world and parts of the country. So I get that. But, and our church has done a great job of being able to social distance and keeping everything clean and all of that. So moving on. Other excuses, though, I just can't. So I was a youth and children's pastor. Most of y'all know that back when, before we had Jude. And I would get so frustrated. No, I hope, not going to call anybody out. I loved all the people there, but I would get very frustrated with people saying, like, couldn't get there on time or couldn't come on Sundays because they just, oh, we have so many kids. It's so hard to get there and get them ready. And I'm like, well, y'all get up and get them to school every day of the week on time.
Dang, at a best, throwing the gauntlet down tonight. Yeah, I agree. I'd rather someone be late to church than just not come at all or be like not. It's okay to be a little disheveled and be there. Like, oh, really, no one cares what you look like. And if you're in a church and people care that much what you look like, or if you're a little bit late, then they're missing the point of being at church there. It is extremely frustrating when people are like, just don't show up, or they make the excuse like, oh, I just wanted to sleep in on Sunday. And it's tough because it's like, okay, you didn't sleep in on Saturday. Like, if you don't work Monday through Friday and maybe take a nap on Sunday, I don't know. Like, I can Monday night quarterback it all day long, but it is super frustrating to me because that's something we prioritize. And I got to walk the line carefully because I don't want to like assume we're on the same page here and like we're playing the same game, right? But I just want you to realize like the benefits and the joy and the peace I get from going to church every Sunday and having that as a priority and not like making an excuse, you know, to miss.
And most churches have a late service, usually starting around 11 o'clock. So you can still sleep until like 9:30 or 10 and get there in plenty of time.
Man, Annabeth is going to start designing personal plans for people, like last minute plans to leave their house to be able to get to church on time and like market it and everything. I think it's the future. The other thing too is, I'm sorry, like we have a kid now. Like, I would never use Jude as an excuse not to go to church. Like, I would use Jude as an excuse not to go out with my friends before I would use them not to go out to church. You know, like, everybody know, if you have a kid, you understand, like, oh my gosh, the kid was being bad last night. Like, we're not coming out tonight, guys. But then like for church, like, it's easy to do the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, he was terrible at trying to get him dressed this morning, blah, 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 blah. Like, I guess we won't go. And then, oh, all of a sudden he calmed down because now we're chilling, watching cartoons.
And guess what? I think probably every single church in America has stuff for your kids, and your kids will enjoy it because it's fun. And I think you should be taking your kids to church. Just saying.
Ooh, y'all. If y'all could see her right now, man. Mm-mm-mm. So we have a challenge for you guys. So we've kind of jumped all over the place, but we want you to understand that we love going to church every Sunday. We firmly believe that everyone should. And if you're an unchurched person or it's not for you or you don't believe in God, like, take a leap, go to church, reach out,
And I will say that is one of the good things about having services online. Like, if you're not sure about it yet, watch a service online. Like, see what it's about. See if you might be interested. Or even if you're trying to find a church in your area, like, that's a good idea to, like, watch some churches online and see, like, hey, I think I would like trying that in person.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
I think we'll do a whole podcast about, like, how to find a good fit for you, church. But that's just a little tidbit of what that podcast will be like, I guess.
Wow, a glimpse into greatness. But so you can kind of see, like, us formulating why this is important and our priority about going to church on every Sunday and how it just jumpstarts our week. So for you guys listening, if you made it this far to the podcast and haven't turned us off yet, I want to issue a 4-Sunday challenge.
So like I was saying earlier, we have the example of the snowball effect and everything. And I told y'all, the more that you go to church or read your Bible, or the more you're going to want to do that. So our challenge is, if you haven't been to church, or even if you have been to church, you can still do this challenge. Because it's hard, I think, to make it to church 4 weeks in a row anyway, even if you go consistently. So our challenge is to go to church 4 Sundays in a row, so for a whole month. And I could be wrong, but I think after you go for 4 Sundays in a row, you're gonna wanna go the 5th Sunday.
I like it. The 4-Sunday challenge. Go the 5th Sunday. The 5th Sunday challenge. And we'll work on the title some other time. But, well, I think that is all the time we have to talk about prioritizing church and why we go to church every Sunday, guys. We'll link the Bible verses in the notes so you can take a look at it there, as well as a reminder about the 4-Sunday challenge. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.